It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everyone. This is BJ with Just Stuff. Welcome to our show. We all know that this is Black History Month. Black history, to me, deserves more than one month of recognition for all of the contributions that our African Americans have made to the country, the nations, and the world. Today we will be discussing something that's interesting to me, and that is, how did the slaves communicate with each other? Now, today my guests are
Carolyn Clarkston, Patricia Davis,
and I am very happy to have them with me, and I will let them give you a little bio for themselves.
Well, I'm Carolyn Clarkston. I'm a retired librarian from the Rapid School System and member of Zion Hill. And we have a book club. Patty and I have worked together with a book club. And so we love reading, and especially love reading about Black history.
All right.
My name is Patricia Davis. I, too, am a retired librarian from the Rapid Parish School Board. I, too, am a member of Zion Hill. Sue and I have been working together for many years, and not only working together, we enjoy each other's company. We are very good friends, and we are always willing to do anything we can that will enhance our history and our people.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, now we're going to talk about some of the ways that our enslaved forefathers communicated with each other. And I'm going to let you go ahead and get started with that. How did they communicate with each other? Because there were no iPhones, cell phones, flip phones, digital resources for anybody to have. And I know that they weren't allowed to be educated. So how did they communicate with each other?
The slaves were an indigenous group of people. We still are. They found a way to get the word out. During the period of slavery, communication among enslaved African Americans took various forms. Sue and I are going to discuss some of the ways they communicated. Sue, tell us about the first way.
Well, one of the main ways they communicated was by singing. Well, song played a crucial role in communication because, you know, African American slaves were not allowed to read and write. So right. The songs was one of their main ways to communicate. They had two main types of songs. One was signal songs, which were songs about escaping, and the other ones were math songs. One of the signal songs, Gospel Trains Are Coming, and I have no rights to this song, but I'll play a little bit of it to you so you can see how they were talking about letting the slaves know when it was time, singing about it, letting the slaves know when it was time to escape.
Oh, okay.
Ruth, or many of them would, when they would hear that song, that was a signal that it was time to escape.
Okay.
And another type of song was a map song. The map songs within the song had directions about where they should go, kind of like a song GPS. And one of the main map songs which they sung during the springtime of the year was Follow the Drinking Gourd. A gourd is like, you have a pumpkin or a kusha, and you scoop out the inside, and they slaves use that to dip water and stuff. Oh. So the Big Dipper in the sky, they call that the drinking gourd, because the Big Dipper was where the North Star was.
Oh.
And when it was telling them to follow the drinking gourd, it was telling them to follow the North Star, which was then the Big Dipper in the sky.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was a map song. Let me play a little bit of that for you. I have no rights to this song either, but just a little taste to let you hear what it was like.
Okay.
When the sun comes back, when the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd. All the old man is waiting for, carry the food.
So he told me, he sang the song. When the sun comes back and the first quail calls, mm-hmm. follow the drinking gourd. And it also tells and says, the riverbank makes a good road. The dead trees will show you the way, because if it was a dark night and you couldn't see the drinking gourd, they know to look at the moss on the north side of the trees find the way. So that's all in that song.
Oh, so it sounds like the crucial part in that.
Harriet Tubman used to sing her favorite song, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," mm-hmm. to let the slaves know she was there and it's time for to go.
Okay, and the overseers had no idea what they were singing about, I'm sure.
No. Mm-mm. They thought they were just practicing some of their religious songs, singing their religious songs.
Mm-hmm.
They had no idea. So the songs did not give them a hint of what the slaves had planned on doing. Yeah.
And you still see some of those songs do, like "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot,"
mm-hmm.
"Sail Away," "Wade in the Water." Mm-hmm. All those songs mm-hmm. were songs that they used to communicate.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. Yes, indeed. Well, and when they, I'm just wondering, how did the families learn how to communicate with each other? I'm sure they learned something from their surroundings, but slaves were brought in from all over the place. So how, when one group developed their language and another group had their language, I wonder, how did they get together to communicate with each other that way?
They were very ingenious about communicating. They used all kinds of things. One of the main things they did was, like, as you said, they were brought in from different parts of Africa, so mm-hmm. their languages were different.
Right.
But these people were not the dummies that the white man thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
They developed a language of their own called Creole.
Oh.
And down south, down in around Lafayette, Crowley, New Iberia, all of those towns, many of the people in that area still speak Creole. And Creole is very, very common in that particular area. But that's a language that the slaves developed on their own. Now, there are many forms of Creole, so we don't want to go into that because that would take too long.
Mm-hmm.
But they developed that language. And then there were still other signs that they used. Sue's going to tell us about another sign that they used.
Okay.
Yeah, they used their hair. they used to assign, they used intricate handwritten patterns as a form of communication. Each plait or pattern conveyed different messages to fellow slaves.
Messages
in their hairstyles. They also used quilts. Quilts had codes with them. Now, that's something they brought from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about in Africa, they had quilts and stuff, but the slaves used quilts to communicate and let people know what was going on. They had various patterns in these quilts. For example, they had a wagon wheel in some of the quilts, where that was a signal for the slave to pack the items they needed to travel by a wagon that could be used, you know.
Then they had
a crossroad quilt that was a symbol referring to Cleveland, Ohio, which was one of the main crossroads from Kentucky to freedom over the Ohio River. They would hang these quilts over the windowsill or outside in some place where, you know, the overseer or the master thought it was just regular household work. But the people who were looking at the quilts read the pattern and understand what was meant. They had a quilt called a log cabin, letting you know whether or not that was a safe house to go in. It was various tags, bow tie. That let them know they need to travel in disguise or to change from the clothing of a slave to a person of high status. They had all kinds of patterns in those quilts. It wasn't just for beauty. It was for information and communication about what to do.
Yes, and indeed. Go. Boy, that was one of the things
he used, braiding hair and quilts for communication. Had to tell you about some underground railroad symbols they used too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They had underground railroad symbols. The first symbol I'll talk about is Moses. The word Moses. You know that in the Bible, Moses led the people to safety. He led them out of slavery.
Right.
So Moses was the most fitting title for Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm.
And Harriet Tubman was known all around as Moses.
Oh, okay.
When they used the term promised land, that meant Canada. They sang songs of going to the promised land. And when they heard that, they knew that a person was getting ready to escape to Canada, because Canada was a safe haven. It was known to accept blacks and not enslave them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one. The River Jordan, they sang about that. And the River Jordan meant the Ohio River.
That's right.
The conductor was the person who led the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Another term is station, and that's a very, very popular one. Station means a safe house. So mm-hmm. if I ask you and you go into the station, you know you go into a safe house where mm-hmm. you will be fed, you will be have somewhere to sleep, somewhere to rest.
That's right.
Now, Sue, there are some others. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. Well, we already talked about the drinking gourd. That was the symbol. And they also called Canada heaven. That was for freedom, because it was heaven and freedom.
Oh, okay.
They called stockholder was a person who donated money and clothes and food to help people, you know, the abolitionists.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they called them stockholders.
I want to be a stockholder.
And Pat, they also had some phrases that they used to they communicate.
Yeah, I saw those phrases.
Okay, I'm going to give Pat a phrase, and then she's going to tell you what it means.
Okay.
One phrase they use on the Underground Railroad: the wind blows from the south today.
The wind blows from the south today. Let me see. Okay. That's a warning that bounty slave hunters are nearby. That means hide. Hide in a herd because they are nearby. That's right.
Oh, my.
Another phrase was, a friend of a friend sent me.
Oh, that's a password for fugitive slaves traveling alone to indicate they were sent by the Underground Railroad.
Yeah. And you know, Friends was another name for the Quakers, because Quakers were some of the people on the underground who tried to get the slaves
around.
All right, here's another phrase that you when the sun comes back and the first quail calls,
early spring, a good time of the year to escape. And so you were telling me that the spring, they had certain phrases they only used in the spring. And one of them was follow a drinking gourd. Why was that?
Because the drinking gourd song was only used in the springtime when you had, you could see the Big Dipper more clearly in the sky.
Oh.
And where the, you had moss on the north side of the trees and the quail. Matter of fact, that phrase, what I just said, the sun comes back and the first quail calls, that happens in the spring. And that's why they sung that map song out of the drinking gourd then.
You know, that just shows us how smart our people were.
Absolutely.
But they knew what to do to get themselves out of many situations. And it's good to know that they had a way of communicating with each other.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got two more phrases for you.
Okay.
The riverbanks make a mighty good road.
Oh, that's a reminder that the dogs, those tracking dogs, can follow the scent of the slaves. Because once they get wet and in that water, the dogs can't pick up the scent.
Oh.
A lot of people would sing that song, Wade in the Water, that's what that was.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And the last phrase is, the dead trees will show you the way.
Oh, that's a reminder that moss grows on the north end of trees. In case the fugitives cannot see the drinking gourd, we can always look for the moss on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mention, it's a children's book. I used to have it in my library when I was working, and they loved it. It's called The Drinking Gourd, A Story of the Underground Railroad. And it's an I Can Read Level 3 book, ages 4 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
The Drinking Gourd, A Story of the Underground Railroad. It's really nice. Excellent illustrations, and it tells a lot about this, what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely amazing. And then they had so many, I'm sure, so many other ways that probably too numerous to mention that they communicated with each other. And I know they would do some type of dancing. How did dancing fit into that, to the communication?
Oh, there were all types of dance moves that they used. There was a particular term, and I right now, Sue might remember it. I forgot how it's pronounced, but there was a dance move that they used, and the slaves were very familiar with that. And along with the dances, of course, was the drums. They would beat the drums in a particular fashion.
Oh, okay.
To mean different things. I might beat my drum 3 or 4 times in succession, 10 or 12 times, and the slaves knew what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
So the drums and the dance, of course, went together, and it was another means by which they were able to communicate.
Yeah. And that dance that she's talking about is C-A-P-O-E-I-R-A. Caporella.
Oh, okay.
It looked like breakdancing, but it's not exactly. It was kind of a form of a combination of dance and martial arts.
Oh, okay.
So the slaves were, while they were dancing for entertainment, they were showing each other how to fight. and sometimes the overseers would catch on to it, and sometimes they wouldn't. They thought it was just, you know, entertainment, but they were showing martial art moves within this dance. If you look on YouTube, they'll show it to you. C-A-P-O-E-I-R-A. That's the name of the dance.
Okay.
So in my research, I found something very interesting. You know, somebody made a statement that the white folks didn't sleep much during slavery because they were always awake trying to catch the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they were trying to catch them, because There were times when slaves who were free came into the different slave camps and brought messages to the people, but they were never able to catch them. And the other reason they were away, because they didn't want the slave, didn't want any to come in and didn't want any to go out. But they didn't have enough eyes to see all what was going on, because they had so many secret codes.
Yeah.
One of the codes was to shine a light through a crack in the wall. And of course, they had many cracks in the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a code looked at those lights. Two or three may have meant go away. Five or six light flashes may have meant come on in. But they knew the different codes, and they used those codes to warn each other and to give each other messages. Although these people were slaves from different parts of the world, different parts of Africa, they were still very ingenious to be able to maneuver and to get around and to give each other signals and codes and signs so that they could survive. And they really needed them to survive, don't you think so, sir?
Oh, they sure did. They had a network of people working together in the Underground Railroad, on plantations, free black people, former slaves, some white people too,
yes.
Abolitionists,
yes.
That would help. You know, they mentioned the Ohio River. The Ohio River was right there between Kentucky and Cincinnati, Ohio. And they had this Underground Railroad captain, I would say, operator. His name was John Rankin.
Mm-hmm.
And he built him a house right there on the side of the Ohio River where there was freedom. And what he would do to communicate to the slaves that were coming across the river, to let them know where to come,
mm-hmm.
he would hang a lantern on a flagpole close to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw that light, they knew that was a safe house they could come to. And he had thousands of runaway slaves get free.
My.
He had all kinds of conductors on the Underground Railroad. The most, although we had a lot of conductors, I think the most famous conductor and great conductor we had was Harriet Tubman.
That's right.
At one point, after she had maybe taken two or three slaves to safety, she decided that it was not a safe practice and she needed to stop. She didn't just stop. She went to God and asked God what he wanted her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he told her to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to take more than 300 slaves to safety.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she never lost any of the people she was taking to safety, and she was never caught.
Never.
Can you imagine taking the risk that she took day after day?
Mm.
She was very well respected among blacks and whites.
Yes.
They didn't say they respected her, but they acted as if they respected her, which meant more than saying so.
Absolutely.
She was a spy during the Civil War for the Union Army.
Yeah.
She would go back and forth, and he used the passwords and everything to help the black soldiers get to a safe place. And you know, it was amazing that Harriet Tubman could do that, because when she was a slave, she had a serious injury where a man threw something at another slave and it hit her in her head so bad till it drove the cloth in her head into her skull.
Ooh, my goodness.
She came out of that, she survived.
Oh.
She was having visions from God.
Yeah.
She would black out. And even when sometimes she was trying to help people escape, sometimes she would just black out. And it was only the Lord that kept her from getting caught.
Yeah.
You know, and she said she would hear messages from God to tell her what to do and where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just obedient to him.
Mm-mm-mm.
And all of this, we must remember that there were some whites, as you said, too, who really helped our people to escape.
Absolutely.
There were some whites who did not believe in slavery,
right?
And they provided somewhere for them to stay, something
Absolutely.
For them to eat. We have many, many people whose names we could call may not mean anything to anybody, but just knowing that there were some good people in the world, some Christian people,
right,
who
Absolutely.
Knew that slavery was not of God.
Wrong.
It was wrong. they showed that they knew that by helping some of the slaves to get to safety.
Some of them even went to jail and prison themselves for helping the slaves. And let us not forget Frederick Douglass. Yes. Frederick Douglass is one of the main people on the Underground Railroad as an abolitionist. He built his house right on the river in New York so they could go from New York to Canada and be free.
Mm-hmm.
All these people were risking their lives.
Of course.
They had something called a fugitive slave law back in 1793 Bible, where they said the people from the slave states would come and capture slaves that had escaped to the free states. Even if they were in the free states, go and grab them and bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And Perry Tubman had to work around all of that. And they sent some of those slaveholders sent some spies to where they suspected these safe houses were on the Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these spies were black slaves who they were paying to do this. And
oh, I think
some of them were white people pretend to be newspaper reporters.
Well, how did they know the difference if they were black people coming? The spies were black.
Well, they had a system that they used. The conductors on the railroad used, they would have secret passwords, secret door knock, and then they got these coins that they gave the real fugitives. They had a knot on them, or had a hole in them, and when they asked for that coin, then they would know whether or not that was a real fugitive from slavery or not.
Oh.
They went around them. Mm-hmm.
That system of communication was, I mean, it's nothing. Internet is nothing compared to the communication skills that we had as slaves.
Yes,
we
that
had
is
great communication skills. And the good part about it is we had to think of these.
Yes,
up ourselves, and then
could not
everybody
Google it.
Had to be familiar with them in order for the system to work,
and they had to be united. They
absolutely
couldn't be telling. They kept secrets. Even the children were taught not to tell anybody outside the family what was going on.
Yes,
and we worked together.
And they
unity is strength.
Absolutely, and they definitely worked together, because if they had not worked together, they would not have been able to accomplish what they did, and the slaves would not have been able to be freed. So the people stuck together, and that's absolutely wonderful. Well, our time is almost over, ladies, and I so appreciate you being here today with us and giving us such rich information about the communication of enslaved people, African Americans, and the things that they went through and the things that they accomplished and how many people were freed because they did what they did. And I appreciate y'all. I appreciate you being here and your knowledge of slavery, communication between the slaves. And this is going to, do y'all have any last minute comments? Anybody have any last minute comments?
Well, go ahead, sir. Well, we appreciate you inviting us to do this, Bob, because in researching this, I can't speak for that, but I learned a lot.
I did too.
I did too.
There's a lot out there on the internet of all kind of books and everything. You don't have to sit around waiting for somebody to tell us what our history is. We can research it and find out for ourselves.
That's it.
And the main library on Broadway has a plethora of books and material on Black history. I was in there the other day and I was going to get a book. There were so many, I didn't know what to get. Use the resources that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And support the library and teach your children and
absolutely
grandchildren about their history.
Absolutely.